When it comes to marriage, is there such a thing as the 7-year itch? And how can couples successfully navigate that often rocky time?
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll look at how to keep your marriage strong at 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, and every year. Join us.
Is the 7-year itch a real thing? If so, are you doomed to bump into it? And why does it happen in the 7th year? In a blog for Today's Christian Woman, Dr. Julie Slattery writes, while the 7-year itch isn't predictable enough to set your calendar by, some version of it seems to exist in most marriages. Some couples say that their romance died in year 4 or that they couldn't stand each other by year 9. But almost every marriage experiences a wall in intimacy that seems to make them rethink their vows.
Murray and Lerone Carson are here, and they just happen to be about to celebrate 7 years of marriage. What is that like? How is it going?
Well, I'd say it's been going pretty well. We've definitely had interesting times, good and bad, but I think that overall, I'd say we've been doing pretty well.
So is it what you thought it would be? You know, we all have this great expectation for marriage. And so I'm not asking, is it bad or good, but is it what you thought marriage would be?
So for me, it's sort of what I thought it would be. It's not what I thought it would be, and it's more.
In the sense, I like that.
Yeah, so you get married and you're expecting certain things. You get to live with someone else. You get to wake up with them. That was really great, like the honeymoon and all that stuff. That was awesome. But then, you know, the fairy tales, they all say, and then they got married and live happily ever after. And they don't tell you, well, sometimes you fight. Sometimes you disagree. Sometimes things aren't what you expected. Sometimes you have clashing expectations and whatever. And then there's just all these new discoveries, too. So, sure, maybe there's not the happily ever after yet, but you get to discover all these things about the person you're living with that are just amazing. So it makes life interesting.
Tell me about some of those amazing things that you have discovered.
Okay. Well, one thing that I find interesting with Lerone is I find that I don't like to monitor things very much. So, like my emails. but Lerone, that's one of her strengths. She's actually really good at monitoring things, and she found this website, Scott's Cheap Flights, and it's like if we want to take a vacation or something, then she'll check to see like when there's a glitch or whatever in the prices, and when that happens, we can take advantage of it. And that's great for me because I want to save money, and it's great for her because we might actually get to go.
That's great. So what you're saying is that you've learned how to appreciate in some way the differences mm-hmm. that you each bring to the table.
What I'm hearing Murray say is that he appreciates the strengths that Lerone has that he may not have. So some expectations have not been met, and that's true for every marriage. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's the big issue of marriage, that people go into marriage expecting certain things, and then that doesn't happen. What I love about what you said, though, is, well, it's not what you thought it would be, but then it's better than what you thought it would be because there's some things you didn't expect that were actually superlative. Mm-hmm. So that's an amazing approach to marriage. I'd love to hear from Lerone what are some of those things.
Yeah. Sure. So one of the things that was challenging for us at the beginning was I tend to be very independent in my approach to life. And when you're married, you have to learn how to work together. And I remember at the beginning of our marriage, when we had a few difficulties, Murray would keep saying, you know, we're a team. we're working together. We're not working against each other. And I think that's something that's really helped us over the years, helped me to realize that, hey, I have a partner and I have someone who wants to work alongside me and wants to help me, you know, grow and be a better person. So I really enjoy what Murray brought to our relationship, the idea of the fact that we're a team and that we're working together instead of against each other.
Yeah, and that often is pretty challenging for people. You know, again, this notion of living happily ever after doesn't say what that happily ever after actually looks like.
Yeah.
And many people go into marriage forgetting that. Mm-hmm. You now become an us. But you were about to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say the team thing I'd kind of forgotten because we've been more or less on the same page for a while now. But I started that. That was my fault, kind of, that she got to where she was, because while we were dating, I like to have fun and say, like, I won whatever it was. I don't even remember what we were talking about. But, like, if I got somewhere first, I'd say I won. Or even if I got there second, I'd say I won. It didn't really matter.
You were all about winning.
I'd say I won. And so then she started doing it, too, and we were just having this game. But then when we were married, it kind of stayed. And I was like, well, now we're a team, though.
So we have to win.
I don't want
to
win. Right.
Now the us wins.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Not just one of us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really important point.
And a powerful one.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that little competition thing, I hear a lot of couples say, oh, well, we're really competitive with each other. And what I'm hearing you say is that at the core, though, it was in a way separating you.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of you looking at it like we both win, you were kind of saying, well, okay, I'm winning,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the other one's winning. So it almost sets you up to fight against each other mm-hmm. in a way, to compete against each other.
What I'm really hearing is that Murray is big on the team notion. And the truth is, that's a winning notion for marriage. And that is, you're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
As Elaine was saying just a little while ago, when one wants to win or the other one wants to win, then the marriage loses. And it's not about one partner or the other one winning. It's about the marriage winning.
Yeah.
And how can we win together? So you guys seem to have found a happy place to land.
Yeah, well, but you know what? I'm sure that you have some challenges as well. And so we want to find out about what some of those challenges are. Tell us, like, what are some of the difficult challenges you've experienced in the 7 years or almost 7 years that you've been married?
You mean in addition to her feeling independent and Murray not wanting to keep track of things?
Yeah, that's been a big one for me. You know, I love traveling with my girlfriends. I love going places. I don't mind being by myself, going to a restaurant and enjoying just some quiet time. But I've learned that one of Murray's love languages, I think acts of service and quality time is one of his love languages. So one of the challenges for me has been learning how to respond or to make sure that he is feeling loved and appreciated in our relationship. So even though it may feel natural to me to want to be myself, have my alone time, I know that it's important to be with him and to do things with him. So it's finding that balance of what makes me happy, what makes Murray happy, what makes us happy.
Well, that's a great point, and we want to talk more about that. So coming up, we'll share 6 ways to keep your marriage strong no matter how long you've been married.
Murray and Lerone Carson are approaching 7 years of marriage. While they're enjoying life together, what can they do to keep their union strong? Let's look at 6 ways to keep your marriage strong no matter how long you've been married. So let's look at those points now. Number 1, make regular deposits in your spouse's emotional bank account.
Mm.
All right. Let's do number 2. Don't label your marriage in negative ways. We'll go back and talk about them. Number 3, learn and practice effective communication skills.
Mm.
Number 4, We'll come back to number four afterwards, but let's just deal with those three, and then in the next segment, we'll deal with the other four. So number one, make regular deposits in your spouse's emotional bank account. Marianne Lerone, how do you do this? How do you make deposits in each other's emotional bank account?
I think for me, it's finding those things that Murray values and making sure that I'm doing those things.
Okay.
I think that's something that you both promote, you know, find those things that your spouse loves and do them over, do them again and again.
Yeah.
And so I try to find ways to do that. And I know Murray also does finds way to do that to me as well. Recently, I went on a trip where I wouldn't have cell phone reception. And Murray, I didn't really say anything to him. I just told him, you know, oh, this is really important to me. And he went and he found a solution, found a phone, found a SIM card that I could use. And just that simple act was so huge to me. And it made me feel so valued and, you know, appreciated in our relationship. So there are definitely moments where we try to make sure that we're doing things to deposit.
So my question, is it easy or hard to do this?
Well, so I want to say, like responding to what she said, she's very gracious. She kind of made a deposit just now. because there were a lot of problems.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
there were a lot of problems with the whole experience. Like, I was trying to set it up, and I had my phone to practice. I had my phone forwarding to that phone. I couldn't undo it. And then I think there was something wrong with her phone, too. And then there were a lot of wires that got crossed. But it did work out. She was able to stay in touch with people. But it was just, you know, it wasn't all roses. So I appreciate it.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I think the question that I'm asking, because what's powerful about what you just said is that it wasn't a huge thing that you did, but you both felt special. You felt special just now as she related to it, and you felt special that he took the time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a lot of times people don't do these nice things because they think they have to do something grand, like, you know, buy a big expensive purse or a new car or a fancy vacation? What are your thoughts on that?
So I suspect that part of it, yes, and I think there's a reason for it, too. So when Lerone does something for me, and sometimes I forget, but I try to thank her for it. Whether it's big or small, I try to say thank you, and she usually does the same. And so, like, even just now saying, you know, he went and he got the SIM card, which she, I can't remember if she said anything immediately after or not, it doesn't really matter. But saying it now and conveying it fully positively, knowing that there were the problems and we were calling back and forth trying to get the thing to work, you know, I appreciate that. And so if you, I don't want to say set the bar low, but if you're appreciative of everything they do, then they're more, you know, if you get
you're
a carrot,
likely to
right, you're going to
do more
it again.
Stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What I really like about this whole notion is that we like to talk about it. Elaine and I talk about it all the time, that people go into marriage thinking about what they can get instead of what they can give. Mm-hmm. And marriage is a prime opportunity to develop your altruistic side. In fact, the more you do so, the stronger your relationship and mm-hmm. the more satisfied you both are in the relationship
mm-hmm.
because you sense that there's value, that the other person values you. And the little things go a long way, even when they're talking about it. So you felt validated and valued because she spoke about this little thing that you said you did for her. Mm-hmm. But obviously it was a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
There are no small deposits when it comes to what you can do for each other in marriage, especially after you are approaching 7 years. Mm-hmm. And people tend to either get tired or they didn't quite get a clear understanding of what needed to happen.
I think it's that happily
yeah.
ever after
yeah,
notion
yeah, yeah, yeah.
where it infers that nothing else needs to be done.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. chasing a pot at the end of the rainbow and you can't get
arrived.
There. You can't get there. You
and then
there.
You have all this hard work based yeah. on what you've been saying. And it's that daily surrender
yeah.
of self to give to the other person.
So I want to go to number two.
I want to get. Okay. I We're both on the same. I want to get to number two. Yeah. Don't label your marriage in negative ways. So, you know, too often we hear couples describe their relationship in dysfunctional or negative ways. How do you guys deal with that when you talk about your relationship to other people or even to each other? What would you say about that? What advice would you give, if you will?
Sure. So I know that when I talk about a relationship, I try to be authentic. Like we don't have a perfect relationship, and so I don't want to pretend that it is perfect. But at the same time, I don't want to berate Murray or speak ill of him. So I try to protect the union, but at the same time, be honest that, you know, there are areas where we struggle and face difficulties like you know, every couple does.
Yeah. So sometimes I think we say to couples, you know, it's kind of like the proverbial glass half full, half empty. Do you have a good marriage? And I like to say a great marriage with some challenging times, as opposed to, you know, I have a horrible marriage. Every once in a while we have fun, but for the most part, it totally changes, right? How you view your marriage. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well,
Did you want to go to number three?
Yeah, I want to go to number three. Learn and practice effective communication skills. What have you guys done to communicate optimally, you know, because people tend to get into ruts and then you start dumping at each other, and instead of communicating effectively, it goes the other way. What have you learned about that?
So if I could just briefly touch on the last one, though, I'll try to transition into this one as well. I like to think of us as a team, and Lerone's almost like an extension of me from my perspective, and hopefully vice versa as well. But if something's going wrong with her, then it's going wrong with me too. So I think of it that way, and then I can't just kind of blame. I have to take ownership. In terms of communication, we've had a couple issues because one of the things I like to joke about is that Lerone's really bad about telling me about things.
Forgets to tell you things?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Things going on at church.
All right. Do me a quick favor.
Okay.
Just hold that thought.
All right.
We have to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
In a moment, we're going to continue the conversation with Murray and Lerone and find out about this exciting aspect of their relationship. And we'll also share more ways in how to keep your marriage strong. Stay with us. God created marriage and family to give human beings the needed community to feel connected. While the process has challenging moments, the rewards are out of this world. In our new book, Hope for Today's Families, we talk about how to keep your marriage strong. So, Murray, before the break, you were telling us a little snippet here of your relationship.
Yeah, so Lerone's really bad at communicating with me about things that are going on at church and whatever. And so I would often find things out at the last minute or as they were going on. And it didn't really bother me. I mean, I still think of us as a team. So it was just like, And I'm kind of a free spirit in that sense. I don't need to know very far ahead of time, but it's just fun to joke about. But what we finally realized was she could just share her calendar with me. And so now it becomes my fault. I don't know about things.
It means that you haven't looked at the calendar.
Exactly.
And you said earlier that you don't always check your email or things like that.
Yeah.
But that's great, though.
Mm-hmm. One of the challenges that we've had is our communication style. So they're definitely different, and just in the way that we resolve problems as well. Murray likes to deal with the issue immediately, and I need some time. And so we've had to work through that, you know, ensuring that we are resolving problems without letting them go unaddressed, because if it were up to me, I could just kind of walk away and, you know, we don't have to deal with this right now, maybe not ever. So we've had to find a middle ground in which, you know, I get my time to think and process through what I'm feeling, and then we go back and address the situation.
Excellent. So I want to deal with the other three of the six ways to keep your marriage strong. And number four, forgive often. Okay, number five, laugh a lot. Mm-hmm. Number six, pray with all your heart for your marriage and your spouse. So let's talk about forgive often. And how have you operationalized this notion of forgiveness in your own relationship? Hmm. And when we think about forgiveness, people usually think about huge things, but it's the little things. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that you have handled it and that you want to share, that you're willing to share?
So I know for me, I probably tend to be the more particular one in a relationship where I'll find things a little more annoying or identify things that I want Murray to do that he's not doing. So I've had to just identify the issues that are significant and we work at those issues. But in terms of other issues, smaller things that are not of large significance, then I learned to move on from that and identify it as just something that's bothering me and not really crucial to the happiness of our relationship.
So we call it self-soothing, huh?
Yeah, we call it self-soothing. And don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
You know, again, we often say to people, a lot of the things that you're getting upset about are your idiosyncrasies, mm-hmm. right? So they don't even need to be forgiven because the other person is not doing it on purpose mm-hmm. to hurt you. They're just being themselves.
The personality.
You know, but too often, don't you think we sweat the small things? It's mm-hmm. like, in our marriage, in our early marriage, we had a picture frame, or it was a clock picture frame. Yeah. And one of us, I don't even remember now, liked it close to the edge of the table, and the other one liked it back. And so every time I walked into the living room, if I saw it back, I would move it forward. Oh. And then I would come back and I'd see it back. Now, it was just the two of us. We didn't have children at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one day I'm like, why do you keep moving that? You know, and then you get hyped up about something that is
if I keep moving, it's because you're moving it as well, you know. So what do you mean I keep moving it?
Well, one of the other things I've learned, too, is sometimes we expect our partner to be able to read our minds.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're upset about something when they don't even realize. So I've had to learn that I need to communicate to Murray when I'm feeling a certain way or when I feel he has offended me, so I can give him a chance to, you know, express what was going through his mind when he did a certain thing. And I think that helps us to walk through the forgiveness process too.
Okay. Yeah. How do you laugh a lot together? Because laughing a lot together is one of those items that helps the marriage to remain strong and viable. Well, what do you guys laugh about?
Well, we make fun of each other a lot. And we have
in a healthy way, of course,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. You're not bullying each other or anything. Yeah.
It's very mutual, at least as far as I can tell. And we both do the same thing, so I think it's pretty mutual. But one thing we do that I think is kind of amusing, at least when we relate it to other people, is we'll wish each other happy birthday and happy anniversary at the times. So, like, when it's the time corresponding to the month and day of her birthday, I'll text her happy birthday.
Aww.
Or same thing with the anniversary, and she'll do mine. And we'll do the reverse ones just so we have more things to do. Which, I mean, we were telling our senior pastor about it, and he's like, oh, no, I could never do that. But it's a fun way to kind of keep in touch, at least for us. It mm-hmm. works for us.
It is. That's wonderful.
The laughter has to be for you. It's an inside joke.
Yeah, exactly.
If it works for you, that's all that matters.
We often say, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we like to do is we like to read funny cards at the card store and just laugh, because laughter is good medicine, yeah. right? A merry heart doeth good.
Yes.
So the couples, do you think that you would advise couples who are starting from the beginning to laugh? Like, what would you recommend to these young couples?
Gosh, don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah, enjoy the small moments that bring fun and enjoyment in your marriage. You know, we try to make sure that we're doing things that are enjoyable. And sometimes we find joy out of the mishaps and misadventures that we experience, you know, instead of getting upset about it. Some of our more memorable and fun experiences have been through some of our mishaps on our travels.
Because you were able to laugh about it as opposed about to it, blaming you know,
exactly.
each other and getting upset.
All right, I want to get in the last one here before our time is up, which is we're almost there. And that is about praying for your marriage. How have you incorporated praying for your marriage?
So a couple things. One thing, since Lauren became a pastor, she has to pray a lot wherever she goes. So when we have prayers as a family, I'll step up a little bit more. And then another thing, we got this book, Book of Mysteries, is it? And so we'll read that usually around Vespers, and it has insightful things about it's a Jew. A rabbi and someone else. But we take those and we use those and we take it into something where we get an insight and then we pray for our marriage as well.
That's wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, you guys, for sharing with us and for being here. We are wishing you a lifetime of joy and peace in your marriage. To watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website listed on your screen and share your thoughts with us on Facebook and Twitter.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.